You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
In the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Joshua Live. I'm your host, Gary Temple Bodley. And today's episode is all about the mass consciousness of humanity, how we tap into it sometimes, and that's generally when we're in a state of fear, and we regurgitate old ideas and thoughts based in fear. This is a consciousness that we are a part of, and actually, when we are in alignment, we are tapping into a source of consciousness based in love, and when we bring those thoughts and ideas to the mass consciousness, we actually change the balance of that consciousness towards more love. So we're doing this kind of work to increase love within that consciousness, and Joshua explains all about that. So this will be a fascinating conversation, I'm sure. If you help us out here, we'd appreciate it by liking and subscribing to this podcast and sharing it with your friends, maybe on Facebook. We all have at least one friend who's interested in the Law of Attraction, and that person, I'm sure, would love to hear all about this podcast. We are doing an event called the Channel Panel on December 19th and 20th. It's a 2-day event. On Saturday, there'll be 4 channels, and on Sunday, I'll be there with another 2 channels, and it should be an amazing time. It's hosted by Alan Steinfeld and Justin Land. If you'd like tickets for that event, and especially a coupon code, you can send me an email to garybodley@gmail.com. So enjoy the show. We are thrilled to be here.
Welcome.
Hey, Joshua.
Welcome back.
There is the essence of who you truly are, and that essence is, well, let's just say the essence of who you are is love. No. Let's not say essence. Let's say the only thing that is who you are, what you are, the makeup of every aspect of who you are, every cell in your body, every little tiny piece of consciousness, every thought that goes through your mind, everything that you perceive in your reality, it's all love. Everything is love. Who you truly are is love. That's all you are. When you come to discover who you truly are, you will come to discover that you are love, that we are love, that we are one, that you are one with all that is, that everything that you think is outside of you is actually within you, that there is nothing outside of you, that all of your projections of physical reality is coming from within you, that everything in your reality is derived from within you. And since you are love, it all must be love as well. It all must be information. It all must be showing you who you truly are, who you're being, what you think you are, what you're perceiving. All of this is coming to a culmination of discovery of who you truly are, and that which you are is love. It is all love. Everything is love. There is nothing that is not love. Therefore, everything is right. There is no wrong anywhere in the universe. You are not wrong. They are not wrong. The conditions are not wrong. Everything is right. Everything is love. Everything is coming to show you how you're being. Are you in resistance to who you are or how you're proceeding, what you're doing, what you're thinking, what others are doing, how they're affecting you, how you're allowing your conditions to make you feel good or bad, how you're perceiving that outside conditions make you feel something, or are you choosing to experience it all? Now, if you're in the thick of things, believing that you are a fragmented entity living in a malevolent universe, trying to survive, perceiving yourself as the victim, well, then everything around you must be pointing out the fact that you're perceiving yourself as a victim. Everything must be that way. There is nothing that can come to you that will not be showing you how you're being. And if you're being a being of love, well, then everything that comes to you must be showing you that. And so if there's any area in your life that is not fully resonant with love, it's because you have some resistance in that area. And so that's just trying to point out the fact of that resistance. Now, if you can look at that resistance and say, okay, this is an illusion. This is not true. This thing I think that is bad in me, in others, in the conditions, is simply pointing out the fact that everything's working out. Everything is working out, except that I can't really see it. I can't really understand it from my perspective. Why is that? Well, you don't have enough information, or you're not going with the flow of what is happening, or you're not choosing to look at something from a higher perspective. Instead, you're looking at it from a limited perspective. And in that limited perspective, you drop into a stream of consciousness based in fear, based in lack, based in unworthiness, that is bringing up thoughts and ideas and urges to control yourself, others, and the conditions. Without needing to actually act on these urges, but instead realizing it's all generated, that perception is generated from a limiting belief. Therefore, the limiting belief is the cause of this reality, or your perception of reality, that says something bad is happening, or something that should not be happening is happening, or that you wish something was different than it is. And that's basically the fact that you're living in this perception of yourself as detached from all that is, as not truly love. So then, the way to move into more love is to constantly think of yourself as source, as the source of your reality, if you'll allow that, as the source of all reality, if you'll allow that, as the creator, the bringer forth of infinite intelligence into your life, as the creative one who can be, have, and do anything, as the one who can perceive things not from the human limited perspective, but from the limitless perspective of the creator, of source, of love. You are a being of love. You are the being of love. You are love. There's nothing about you that is not love. It's simply a perceptional dilemma. Now, can you rise above that perceptional dilemma? Can you choose to see yourself as more than you think you are? This is the work that you're doing now. This is the work that you're doing when you say, I will meditate today. I will write a list of what I appreciate, what I'm grateful for. I will pay attention to the urges that are coming, to the inspiration that's coming, to the experience I'm having, and I'll not judge any of it. I will say that I am the perceiver of this experience, not the victim of that experience. I am the one that can flow with what is happening, knowing that this entire system of physical reality is designed to bring you to greater levels of clarity and awareness. And that greater level of clarity and awareness is the fact that you are love. And if you had the belief everything is right, then you would be fully aligned with who you truly are. Because the statement, everything is right, is the statement of love. It is the belief of love. Anything short of that is coming from a consciousness of fear. Here you are, existing in physical reality at this date and time in 2020. Whoever you are, whether you're on this call now or listening to this at a later date, you are experiencing a reality that is a reflection of your path or journey of ascension so far. You were born into this reality as a pure being of love. You exuded love as an infant, and then you somehow gained a construct of your reality, of which some of it is based in fear. Most of it, we will say, is based in love. And this is the reason you're here. You are a powerful explorer, exploring physical reality from a stance of love, knowing that you are love down there deep inside. This journey of awakening is the understanding that essentially you are love. Essentially, the essence of you, the truth of you, is that you are love. You are love experiencing fear. You are love experiencing joy. You are love experiencing anything you experience. You are love experiencing that. And each time you experience anything, you are more definite in your understanding of what love is. All of it, even if you're in fear, because the opposite of love is fear. And so to truly experience love is to sometimes dip in fear. But there's something more going on here with you. You are opening an awareness, not just to who you are or to these wonderful people that are joining this call now, or to the people in your life that you can see where they are truly beings of love themselves experiencing fear. You are bringing forth in those times of alignment, love into this realm. You are bringing forth the consciousness of love into the physical form. Now, so imagine that all the thoughts that have ever been thought, all the consciousness that's going on now, all the constructs, all the ideas, all the definitions that exist in physical reality are often based in fear, often based in a need to protect yourself or to set up boundaries, often based in the perception that you're not the creator or that this person's not the creator and that person's not the creator, but everyone's being a victim. Everyone's trying to protect themselves. Everyone's wishing for things to be different than they are. Everyone is accepting the fact from their own personal point of view that they have limited powers. And so they're trying to control conditions and control conditions and control conditions. And this recycles this idea of limitation. And breaking free from that, due to your amazing technology that you have, your access to new ideas and new information, are those of you who are gaining more and more alignment and choosing higher perspectives. As you do this, you bring in more love than has ever flowed before into this environment from the human to the collective consciousness of humanity. And so humanity, due to the work that you're doing as you're processing your fear and limiting beliefs, is rising in love, is gaining traction in love, is gaining momentum of love. It's not just the work that you're doing for yourself. It's the work that you're doing for the collective consciousness. Think of the collective consciousness is of a stream running into the ocean. And you each are tributaries into that stream. And you are bringing love into that stream of consciousness, and you're adding love to it. New ideas, new thoughts, new ways of looking at yourself and others. More connection, more forgiveness, more acceptance. And the love is flowing, building a river of love, that will one day meet the ocean. And as it meets the ocean, it changes the consistency of the ocean. It creates this ocean of love, whereas before it might have been an ocean of fear. You are literally cleaning up the entire environment of the collective consciousness when you individually do your work, when you individually push past fear, look at things from the higher perspective, meditate, gain alignment, bring forth inspiration, and act on inspired ideas. You cannot underestimate your value to all that is. And this is gaining wonderful momentum. Everything is working out perfectly. Everything is going to morph into something more and more and more representative of the love that you are. And with that, we'd like to talk to you about anything you'd like to talk about. Who would like to start?
So this morning I had a meditation, and in my meditation, I received an understanding. And it's just like, there is no me, at least not in my previously conceived perception of what a me was.
Exactly. There is no you. That is an evolution of an idea. The idea of you.
And also that, you know, things that bothered me are people that bothered me, situations that bothered me, such as, you know, it's constantly, I've got to close the door to say this. Hold on for a second. It's going to hurt somebody's. So caring for my father has always been a burden or something. And then I saw that we were actually one in the same being.
Yes.
That it wasn't caring for my father, that he was not a separate entity from me.
That you were caring for yourself the whole time.
Yes, exactly.
But you couldn't care for yourself as you were. You were not worthy of that care. And so he represented you in that you couldn't care for yourself. You were not feeling worthy of caring for yourself, that you had to care for something that you said, quote unquote, love or honor or obey or have some kind of relationship with, that I must care for him because of who he is. And I'm the only one that can. And in doing that, you're saying, why do I have this burden? Why isn't there more help? Why isn't my sister or other people joining in to help this? Because they are not having that experience. You're choosing this experience to heal yourself from eons of life after life after life after life of life. Eons of, I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, I'm not anything. I am a victim, I am never going to be anything. You're healing yourself. That representation of your father is you all over, again and again and again. All these lives, all these interactions has brought you to this moment in time, this great awakening that you can understand that he is you, that you are loving yourself, that you are taking care of yourself. And it's never a burden because you have an inexhaustible supply of love. It's only the resistance to, why aren't I getting stuff for me? Why aren't I getting stuff for me? But you never needed it, ever. You never needed anything. It was always within you. The great expanse of infinite love flows through you towards anything you focus your attention on. And this is a wonderful example for all of you. In whatever your burden is, it's your subject of healing. Of healing, not just yourself, not just the countless incarnations that you've had, of the experiences of the one that was abandoned or neglected or rejected, of all those who never got what they wanted, but building more, building more, building more through experiences like this of healing. And so when you can take your focus on that thing which you are healing as you, rather than that, then the you that's not receiving, you shift your consciousness from fear to love, from individual to all that is, from victim to creator, from nothing to source.
I've got a quick question.
Yes.
It's just quite a practical one, actually, but I remember you had gone through it before, the difference between appreciation and gratitude, because I'm filling those in at the moment and not sure of the difference. And the other thing was about meditating. We're supposed to meditate like with one of the guided Joshua ones, but then are we supposed to be meditating? I mean, I know it's a good idea anyway, but are you kind of prescribing to meditate separately, you know, without listening to anything, twice a day as well?
The difference between gratitude and appreciation is the difference between a thumb and a forefinger. It's not really even there, is it? It's your definition of a thumb compared to a forefinger. But it doesn't matter what it is. Because in this idea of writing down what you appreciate, you are expressing love through you. When you're writing down what you are grateful for, you're expressing love through you. When you're writing down these lists of gratitude and appreciation, you can choose to judge what you write. And in that judgment of what you write, what you're saying is that I'm not trusting the love that's being expressed through me. And in this understanding of I appreciate X, which is coming from this higher plane of consciousness based in love. In appreciation, only love can flow. In gratitude, only love can flow. In judgment, fear is flowing. In criticism, fear is flowing. In needing it to be different than it is, fear is flowing. In allowing it to be whatever it is, you are building a stronger connection to the source of love, which is your inner self. And so if you can allow for your inner self to say, I appreciate blank, and just let it be whatever it is without any judgment of it, then you are expressing love. In the noticing that this thing which you are appreciating should be different than it is, because that's what you wrote yesterday, and that's what you wrote the day before, and that's what you wrote the day before, and if you keep appreciating the sunset, well, that's never going to get you more money in your bank account. It's never going to get you what you think you want, you see? So you're using appreciation and gratitude as a form of control. You're also using meditation as a form of control. Is this the best meditation for me? If I find that it's Monday and the daily meditation for Monday is abundance, then that means that I can be confident that financial abundance is flowing to me because I'm doing the work to achieve this thing I want to achieve. But tomorrow it's going to be something else. And you say, oh, well, I don't have enough money in my bank account. Maybe I should go back and choose abundance. And here you have prescribed for you a certain meditation for whatever tomorrow brings. And you're saying, no, I don't want to do that meditation. I want to choose a different one because the different one is going to increase the likelihood of me receiving my desire. And that's all control. And that's all based in fear that you're not receiving what you want to receive. And what you want to receive is also based in fear. Those things, those desires that you're creating, that you say, I lack this, so I want that. Therefore, to get that, I must do X, Y, and Z. I must effort and struggle, effort and struggle, effort and struggle, effort and struggle to create a reality that brings more of this thing than I lack, to solve the problem of lack, to erase the uneasy feeling of the lack of whatever it is. In this case, you're just controlling it. And we say there's a much simpler way to do this. Have in front of you anything and then just do it. Just allow for your consciousness in a state of alignment to fill it in. Here's what I'm doing today. This is what I'm going to write. I appreciate my house. I appreciate air conditioning. I appreciate heat. I am grateful for the sun. I am grateful for the moon. I am grateful for my family. XYZ, just let it flow. And then you'll build up that trickle of love coming from source in these times when you are absolutely compliant, when you're absolutely just going with the flow of what's happening, when you're not judging anything or controlling anything, when you're just letting it flow. I don't care what the definition of gratitude is or appreciation is, because in the caring of that is the control. Am I doing this right? Am I going to get what I think I want? Unless I do this right, I might not get it. That's the fear. But yet it's all working out. You find yourself here. You find yourself sitting down. You find yourself having the idea. Let's go ahead and do the daily spiritual practice. Let's do the meditation. Oh, what's the meditation? The meditation today is abundance. We'll do abundance. The meditation tomorrow is whatever it is. We'll do that. We'll just go with the process that's in front of you. I'll sit down. I'll write what I appreciate. Oh, it's the same as yesterday. How interesting. I wonder what that's trying to tell me. Oh, focus a little bit more on that. Focus a little bit more on that. But really, shouldn't I appreciate flow of money coming in? Shouldn't I appreciate the stock market so that the stock market will rise? Shouldn't I appreciate good labor so that things will get done when I pay for them to get done? No, that's all control. That's all you wanting to write down something that's going to affect an outcome. And this is simply the beginning of this journey. You start with this absolute control over everything, and then you start to ease up in control. You have this idea that things should be a certain way, and then you let that go. And you allow for ideas to come in. And at first, you will judge those ideas. You'll critique them. You'll say, this inspired thought is never going to get me what I want, so I'm not going to do it. And then you'll say, hold on, what if I could act on one inspired idea? Let's just act on that inspired idea and see what happens. Let's adopt a stance of curiosity. Just for fun of this, I'm going to let some idea come through and take some action and then give it up. I'm going to allow it, accept it, let it be. And then you build up momentum. You start to turn that ship away from control and towards acceptance, away from fear and towards love, away from doubt and towards confidence, away from this perception of yourself as one who has to control everything because bad things could happen, to one who says, I don't know what's going to happen today. I'm going to open my eyes and go with eagerness in a playful, non-committal, non-judgmental, non-worrying about anything way of being. I'm going to spend more time in ease and joy and love and happiness and curiosity and resourcefulness, and not so much time in effort and struggling or doubt, because the doubt is derived from this consciousness of fear. And that's what everyone else would do. Everyone else, every single other person you know, not involved with this group of intelligent co-creators, all the others who are unaware of this information, they are trying to navigate their lives by mandating that what they think they want should come true. They're going to effort to struggle their way. They're saying, I'm not happy now. I'm not fulfilled now. I'm not enough now. I'm not worthy now. I'm not abundant now. I'm not free now. So I must change the conditions. And when those conditions change, I will feel these things I lack. And we can come here unequivocally to tell you that you will never gain a feeling that you think you're going to gain, which is the opposite of lack, by effort and struggling and controlling any of it. The only way to gain it all is to think about why you feel you're lacking anything. And this is because you've been used to living in that consciousness of humanity that's based in fear. You are defining your life in terms based in fear, not true terms, illusionary terms, illusory terms, you see. The true term is you are a being of love. That's it. You are love. You are the source creator of your reality. You, who you really are, is one who is not limited by fear, one who can experience the fear and consciously understand where the fear is derived and reason it back to the limiting belief that sparked the fear in the first place, because you perceived something in reality that launched this limiting belief into action. And now, instead of changing the conditions or controlling the conditions or wishing things were different, like you may have done and like everyone else you know does all the time, you will say, I'm not going to perceive this thing as wrong anymore. I'm going to realize that the fear I feel, the negative emotion that I'm going through, is sparked by a limiting belief. And I'm going to address that limiting belief by proving it's false, by finding evidence is false. Everything comes from within, including infinite intelligence. So the access to infinite intelligence is within, is the thoughts that come to you when you're in a state of alignment. When you think that someone else outside of you has the answers, society knows that you should do this, that you have, should have insurance, you should invest this way, you should have this kind of family life, you should believe these things. This is looking outside of you. It's a construct that society created to address certain issues it had with how it was developing. And that's all well and good, because it's led to the incredible society that you enjoy now. But at this point in time, it's ready. Source is ready. You're ready to break out of those constructs because they are no longer serving you. When you ask for guidance outside of yourself in anything, even us, when you ask us, what's the difference between gratitude and appreciation? We're going to show you our perspective, but that's meaningful in a broad term, in a broad construct. The truth of it all must always come from within you. And you were moving away from this idea that you can follow leaders or listen to some pundits outside of you for guidance because you think they know more than you. But they're never speaking to you. They're always speaking to a generalized version of some human being that is non-existent. You are the only existent human being in your reality. You're the only one feeling your emotions. Is that correct? No one else is feeling your emotions. No one else is thinking your thoughts. No one else has the pre-birth desires of you. No one is on the trajectory that you're on. No one has had the previous past life experiences that you've had. No one has set up their reality the same way you set it up. No one's chosen your name, your body, your birth date, your parents, but you. You are unique. So all of these answers are coming from within. You are either choosing to listen to that in meditation or to affect some outside condition. So if you can bring yourself back and say, it doesn't matter. I don't need to know this right now. I'll ask myself. In meditation, I'll ask myself, and I will trust the wisdom that comes from my inner self to me, because this is me. Your inner self knows you. Every thought you think, every thought you've ever thought, every desire you've ever had, including your pre-birth desires. Your inner self is guiding you even to ask this question. And we would never answer this question in the same way to anyone else, because this answer is brought forth not from us, but from you. But you won't listen to your inner self. You're looking for someone outside of yourself. So we play that role for you and for all of you. But essentially, you'll come to a point when you say, aha, it was always within me the entire time. I've never, ever, ever been without this guidance. And this guidance has led me on this incredible life to get to where I am now. Everything has worked out perfectly to bring you here to ask this fundamentally brilliant question, a question that no one has ever asked in the same way, and that no one has ever been at the vibration that you're at right now to ask this question and to bring forth an answer, not what you thought you would hear, but one that with maybe listening over to this answer a few times, you will start to get for you, because this answer is for you. But it also serves to be of benefit to the collective, because now that this answer has come forth from the non-physical to the physical, it changes the collective energy of the mass consciousness of humans on the planet. You did that. That stream of love that you just accessed is adding to the ocean of human consciousness, and is adding to the love of all that is. And you had to push past a little bit of fear to ask this question. So bravo. Now, keep doing this and keep doing this and keep doing this, and ask us as many questions as you like, but realize that whether it's coming from us or coming from thoughts in your own mind, it's all you, every bit of it.
Thanks, Kat.
Excellent.
Josh, cheers.
Who's next?
I have a question, Joshua.
Yes.
So kind of a little bit wrapped in that, I want to be good. Like I want to be really good at teaching. And so why? I'm like, well, why who around me is going to help me be good, or how do I, or am I good? So I'm like, this desire to be better at something.
Excellent. Now, why would you want to be good?
I want to be able to, have people like me. And influence.
If you're good, they won't reject you. But that's just going to mean that you'll have to dumb it down. You'll have to make it broad enough and general enough to appeal to enough people that it will not trigger their limiting beliefs.
But I think it's also about, I want to be excellent at something.
Only because you don't want to be rejected. What if you gave all that up? What if you just be you? Now, let's imagine that you are Source, the creator of this universe. Would Source need to be excellent? What good would that do? You see, without being everything, you wouldn't understand what excellent was. Without moving on a journey from where you are now to an elevated, more expanded version of you, you wouldn't understand what excellent was. The desire to be excellent is wonderful, yet it comes from a place of fear, doubt that you're excellent. And so as you move along with the understanding that you are inherently excellent, you are inherently good, you're inherently perfect, you can't possibly make a mistake, this is where you're ascending to. but you don't want to be there now. If you could wish for that, well, you would say, I'm excellent. And then boom, you're excellent. And now you're the world's greatest teacher. You're brilliant. People follow you, except they don't. They can't follow you because you're so excellent. You're triggering all their limiting beliefs. You're triggering all their limiting beliefs. And they're saying, this doesn't make any sense. This is too far out there. This is too ridiculous. But the essence of what you're bringing forth, which is love, doesn't resonate with where they are because they're in fear. So it is never about anyone outside of you, because truly no one outside of you exists. They are all the source creators of their reality. So we might offer you a more empowered outlook. I am excellent. I am enough. I am worthy. I am source. I am creative. I'm going to simply act on the inspiration that comes, trusting that that inspiration is going to lead me on a journey from this current limited version of me to some expanded version of me. And that journey is going to be excellent. It's going to be perfect. It's going to be magical. Every one of your limiting beliefs are going to be exposed along the way, which is exactly what you want. Because without exposing those limiting beliefs, you can't process them. And without processing them, you can't raise your vibration. Without raising your vibration, you cannot ascend along an excellent, perfect journey, which is what you want. And where that journey will lead you is to a state of clarity. And at the highest levels of that state of clarity, you will look back on the version of you that exists in this moment, and you will say, that version was as perfect as this version. That version I love as much as this version. That version had all the potential within it to bring me to this version. And when you get to that version, you'll start all over. And you'll go up and up and up and up and up and up and up. So it's a mental construct. You are either looking at yourself as perfect or flawed, and that's a choice. When we say the word flawed, some mental construct comes up that's unique to you. And no one has the exact definition of that term flawed when it relates to you. When we say perfect, you have a mental construct of that term perfect, which applied to you means something to you, different and unique in a way that other people would not realize what that was to you. And so you're going from this mental construct where you perceive yourself to be flawed to a new construct, which you will develop, seeing yourself as good, valuable, worthy, excellent, and perfect. And that's what you want. That's what you came here for. That's the journey you're on now. You can't get off that journey. You can quit. And when we say quit, you're still on that journey, yet you're focused in lack and limitation and unworthiness and unwanted and the inauthentic version of you. So why go there? Why not just trust that you are perfect, you just can't see it? We can see it, others can see it, and you can't see it. Well, this is the game that you set up for yourself. You didn't want to see it yet. You want to see it, and this drives you forward. Now, in this analysis that you are one of a few that have come forth for this conversation, that very, 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 very few humans could understand what we're talking about, but you can, that you chose to be here now, that you've gone through the journey exactly perfectly to get here now, that you've judged it along the way, but you're offering less resistance to that journey than you ever have before. You're feeling more at peace, more at ease, more capable, and more worthy than you ever did before. And in this, you're allowing a new incarnation, a new representation of who you think you are. So who you thought you were yesterday, that person's gone, completely erased. Does not exist. The person that you are today is just your story for today. And then the person that you are tomorrow is your story for tomorrow. And as you look back from tomorrow to today, you will have a perception of who you were yesterday and an idea of who you will be tomorrow. And this is simply the evolution to go with the flow of the life that you intended to live prior to your birth. Without resisting, controlling, wishing. To go from perception of a victim to the perception of a creator. To go from being unaware of who you truly are to aware of who you truly are. When you get to being aware of who you truly are, everything will make sense. All of your past lives, all of the experiences of this life, everything that's ever happened in this life will totally make sense to you. Every interaction you've had with other people, your parents, your mates, your friends, your child, all of this will make sense to you. It doesn't make sense now, but it makes more sense today than it did yesterday or a year ago or 2 years ago. And you can believe that it'll make more sense to you as you go along this journey. Now, your inner self is always guiding you. Your inner self is always sending love through you in the form of inspired thoughts and ideas and love. When you are linked to that inner self, when you're in doubt and fear, you'll be linked to the consciousness of doubt and fear. And you will receive thoughts, ideas, urges to control the conditions, to protect yourself, to build up boundaries, all of these things. You'll have to understand where you are. And when you're in doubt, doubting that you're good enough, doubting that you're a good teacher, worrying about whether you'll be rejected or accepted, worrying about money, worrying about any of this stuff, when you're in that doubt, you'll have to see it as just doubt. Experience it as doubt and then let it go because it's never going to stop. You're never going to be fully linked in love until you transition to the non-physical. You'll always be some element of fear in this physical reality. That's not just happening to you. You might perceive that other people don't have fear. They don't have doubt. They are more capable. They're inherently good. They're inherently better than you. This is not true. That's the grand illusion that the old consciousness is bringing forth. Because guess how many people had these doubts in the past? All of them. And those are still running around down there. Whenever you come out of alignment, whenever you project a negative possibility into a future of something, you are turning the key into that doorway that leads to that consciousness of doubt and fear. You'll have to say, oh, I have my key in the lock. I'm not opening that door. I'm going to take the key out and put it into the door that opens the consciousness of source. That's a practice. But guess what? You were given two keys and you can choose either key at any time. And the more often you use the source key, the more love that you'll be flowing through you and the greater you'll ascend to more and more clarity and the more likely you'll be using the source key in the future. In the past, your hand was always on that key to lack and fear consciousness. And so you're just very good at opening that door. You're very good at it. And everyone else is too. Now, start switching that. Start getting really good at opening that source key. Do this by maintaining a daily spiritual practice, maintaining a daily practice of meditation, and choosing to look at everything from the higher perspective. Realizing that you are healing not just yourself and not just the versions of you that existed in this life and in past lives, but all of those who will seek your teachings. You see, from 10,000 years ago, all those lives, to 1,000 years ago, all those lives, to 100 years ago, all those lives, to all of this experience in this life has led you to what you will teach because others have followed similar trajectories of fear and doubt that you have. They've all been buying into a concept that the structure of society mandated. You had to have this certain approach to life. You had to have these conditions set up. you had to have someone else take care of you or be responsible for you. You could not stand in your own power because you are just a person. Who are you? You are nobody. You are nothing. This is the lineage of unworthiness that you carried with you into this life, and that you will heal in the grand scheme of things by pushing past that nonsense, that illusion, and being who you truly are. You came here to be the powerful creator. This is so evident in your vibration. This is why you came here. And so all you are is a teacher. And when you say, all I am is a teacher, not to change anyone else's lives, but to heal all of it, yours and a whole consciousness, something much greater than the version of you that you perceive yourself to be right now. Think of yourself in those terms and everything will be easy. Excellent. Who's next?
I have a question.
Yes.
So I would like to have to get some clarification on about doubt. And I feel a lot of doubt, and you explained a little bit about that fear, especially not when I get an inspired idea to act, actually when I'm acting upon that inspired idea. And sometimes it feels like a burden, like it takes me places that I would never imagine, but sometimes it's a lot. And so I doubt that actually I'm doing the right thing or what I'm doing, and it just becomes like an internal mess.
There is much more going on here than we have time to talk about right now, but we'll stay with this idea of doubt. That doubt must be triggered, because that doubt is the speed bump that's alerting you to the fact that you are resisting who you truly are. And that doubt and those limiting beliefs, all of that is wrapped up into this higher consciousness of humanity. Now, when you say, I'm worried about myself, I don't want to lose this or to be rejected, I want to have a nice, easy, happy life, I want to get these things and get these things and get these appreciation, the accolades and money and all this, and I want to avoid anything bad happening, you're putting all of it on you. Like, you have to take care of this version of you that exists now that's going to be gone tomorrow anyway. Why do you care about that? When you look at it from a true perspective, which is, as you push past doubt, as you affirm that you are the source creator of your reality, that you are source, that you are source living in this experience, experiencing fear and doubt and rising above the fear and doubt, not just for the human that exists in this construct, but for the mass consciousness of this planet, to bring that inspired idea, which is pure love, unlocked in the non-physical to the physical. You are the creator. You're creating a stream of love to benefit all that is, the planet, the animals, the amoebas, the bacteria, and all other life, including humanity. You are doing it not just for you, but for all that is. And every time you push past fear, all of you, every time you push past fear, every single time, no matter how little, tiny, insignificant that fear is, which is to say, I could do it tomorrow. If you push past that fear and do it now, you are charging, you are sending energy into the consciousness of humanity, and you are moving massively forward to love, and you are building the momentum of love. That's what you are bringing. That's what you are doing. It is only insignificant if you bring it down to the human level, the tiny, 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 tiny level. I have to protect myself. I have to make sure I get what I need. You have everything you need. It's just the illusion that exists. And fighting through that illusion is pushing past fear and overcoming doubt. And that's what you are offering to all that is.
So for me, it's been lately more not about me taking care of me, taking care of everything around me. Like, in the one of my inspired ideas took me to several steps, and basically And that it was interesting to actually felt the idea came from one of my big trees in my property. But I ended having to apply so much poison in our property to kill thousands of ants. So I feel the pain of instead of protecting the environment, I put in all this poison, and you know, it's just contradictory, but I was following the steps of the inspired idea that took me there.
Which brought you to a manifestation event, which yes. brought you to a limiting belief, mm-hmm. which said that those ants were the victim of you instead of the creator of you, that those mm-hmm. ants even existed, that those ants are anything other than the energy of you projecting out into your yard, so that you could have a conclusion, a new perspective, that you can look at, why do I have this limiting belief that I have to personally be the custodian of the planet? Where the planet is, and everyone else in your reality, the planet, the sun, because if you said, I have to protect the environment, I am personally responsible for the environment, for the earth, well, what about the sun? You take care of the earth, but now you have to get the sun and the moon and all the other planets and all the other galaxies and all the other things, right? That's not what you're here to do. You are not here to solve anyone else's problems. You are here to act on the inspiration, which often will bump you up against the manifestation event so that you can rethink who you are better. So if you think of yourself as source, and let's say that there is a planet in a far off galaxy that's living next to a sun that's about to go supernova, and there are entities, life on that planet, would source ever stop the supernova? Or would source ever feel guilty for this collapse of the sun that would destroy this life on this planet? No, source is understanding that this energy is not going to be extinguished. So the energy of those ants will flow forth and they'll have their life experience and then come back as something else and have more experience. So in fact, your choice is to look at it as, this is the thing I'm inspired to do now. And the inspiration led to a perceptual change in my reality where it seems to have affected life outside of me, and death is a bad thing, so this must be a bad thing. And that's a limited way of looking at it. Now, we're not saying that you should randomly do this, and if you are angry and acted on an urge to extinguish the life of these of this ant colony, that's a different thing. But in love, in alignment, in inspiration, when you are moving towards a new level of awareness, these manifestation events will come up and you want them to come up so that you can find the limiting beliefs, reset the limiting belief, because that limiting belief, especially in your existence where you are now in all the things going on in your life, will ask you to do things. That limiting belief will ask you to do things that are not necessary. It'll ask you to choose a research assignment based in helping some other life form where that's not necessary and that's not the use of your talents. It'll make you act on an urge. Oh, I should do this thing that came to me to help other life forms. I must do that because I have the fundamental belief that I'm the shepherd of this environment, which you are to an extent, but not for you specifically, individually. When you are thinking in a loving way towards all life and towards the planet, that's all you need to do. When you think that you made a mistake, that you harmed something else in the acting on inspiration, that's pointing to a limiting belief. For you, this limiting belief must be addressed now, because what's to come is going to give you two choices. One choice is to go off of the old approach to life to save something that needs not being saved, which will be more of an exploration of who you're not. The other will be to go on a journey expanding on your knowledge and your understanding of yourself as source in the benefit of all that is, so that others will understand that they're source as well. That's where you're going. The animals don't need your help. The humans who are ready will look at you as an example of alignment and will follow your example to become aware and awake themselves, just as you did.
Okay. Thank you.
Excellent. We have time for one more question. Who'd like to jump in?
I have a silly one.
Excellent. Perfect timing.
Well, we're admonished to keep our thoughts positive, our words positive. But I wonder, does the universe have a sense of humor? Because like if you're kidding around and you think something is funny and you might say, kill me now, and that's a joke, are the words still valid that the universe will hear, I want to be killed now? I mean,
we will say that there is energy in your words, but the energy is not the words themselves. The word itself is defined by you wherever you are. It's unique to you. So if you say kill, that construct of that word kill in context means different things. If you're a comedian and you said, I killed out there, that means something different than if you're a terrorist and said, I killed out there. So it's the vibration of the word, because the letters make up the construct of the word, but no meaning to that word. The meaning is only the interpretation used in context. So the context is always important, and the context has a vibrational signature. And that context is what attracts. So if you have the context of love in that sentence, kill me now, which is a funny and sarcastic thing to say, then the energy of that sentence, even though the word itself could be taken out of context and used to mean something wrong or bad, in that context, it is simply a vibration of love and joy. All humor is love and joy. All humor is natural when you're in a state of alignment. In fear, you could say the same thing and has a different vibration and a different attractive quality to it. So absolutely joke and kid and have fun and joy. And as you know, being a ball buster is the greatest act of love. This is an amazing group of intelligent people who can see the vibrational version of anything, whether it is high or low. You have the choice in that. You have always a choice to look at everything from the higher perspective or the limited perspective. What it really is the vibration of it. And you are seeking to raise the vibration of not just yourself, because that's not as important as all of it. All of your friends, all of your family, all of your coworkers, all of your customers, all of your employees, all of your bosses, all of the community, all of the country, all of the planet. This is who you are. You are here to raise the vibration of all of that. Start with yourself, of course, and then let it flow. Let the love flow. And with that, we are complete.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Never ball buster.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Ball buster.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.